everybody. My name is Brendan, and you are listening to Mulder Was Right, a comedy-based podcast where we talk about conspiracy theories and alternative facts. My co-hosts are...
Hey, I'm Curtis.
Hey, I am Sakeef.
All right. That's us. If you haven't listened to this podcast before, you're in for a treat, because this will be a fun one. I'm actually very excited for this topic. I didn't do very many hours of research for this topic, so if there are things that probably seem not 100% there, it's due to the lack of research, and I apologize. Although, I feel like I'm going to cover everything pretty well.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay, because life is pointless.
Yep. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Nihilism at its best, Curtis.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Anyway, guys, if once again this is your first time, definitely check out our Facebook and Twitter at MWRcast. You can find us there on social media. We love talking to you guys, so definitely reach out and talk to us, because there's a lot of you and only three to five of us.
Three to five. We gain extra people come out of our bodies sometimes.
Sometimes. Anyway, guys, so why don't we dive right in to this episode here. Have you guys heard of New Coke?
Well, of course.
I have heard of New Coke.
New Coke.
Yes, I have. All so right. No need to go into any more detail.
Cool. We're done.
This is the end of the episode. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
So we're going to be talking about New Coke today. But before we get into New Coke, I guess we sort of have to talk about Old Coke before we talk about New Coke. Here's a little background with the Coca-Cola Corporation. In the late 19th century, Confederate Colonel John Pemberton was wounded in the Civil War. Procedures back then were archaic, so painkillers were used in mass quantities. Pemberton soon became addicted to morphine, which is not uncommon for soldiers to do in this time. Pemberton began trying to create a recipe for something to replace his addiction. His first recipe was created in Pemberton's Eagle Drug and Chemical House, acting as a replacement for such harsh painkillers. He called his invention Coca-Cola, and it was a huge hit right off the bat. By 1888, there were three versions of Coca-Cola sold by three separate businesses.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I knew what's his name again? Pemberton? Is that right?
Pemberton.
Okay. Yeah, I knew the story of Pemberton creating Coca-Cola and distributing it originally creating it as a home remedy. I'm not sure if you're going to get to this part, but I also have heard that the original Coca-Cola recipe contained cocaine.
It did contain cocaine. That's it.
If it's like a morphine substitute.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if we're on that level of things.
Yeah. That is the extent and exciting information about the fact that it used cocaine. Like that's it.
Okay.
And so at this time, once again, there were three separate businesses all selling basically the same product. It was actually pretty much the same exact recipe. So basically, like patent laws weren't really super in existence back then. I mean, they still were there, but...
you can get around it.
Yeah. And, you know, if you look at China nowadays, China has very lax patent laws. So you can literally, like, buy patented things from China for a lot cheaper as of today. But so we have three different Coca-Cola... products that are all basically the same thing. The businesses came together and came to an agreement here. Pemberton would keep the Coca-Cola name for his son, but the other producers would be able to still use the same formula.
So he named his son Coca-Cola?
No. He kept the name Coca-Cola for his son Charlie. Charlie Pemberton.
Oh, just... Okay.
Yeah.
So he could be like, I have this name.
So he has the name.
He has the rights
yeah,
to.
Yeah, exactly. He has the right to Coca-Cola, the name. and enter in a new hotshot cola producer, Asa Chandler. He had a drive to create this company into something huge. The issue was that he didn't have the cool name. For whatever reason, the name was really big back then, and having a specific name is like very important. So he was forced to sell cola under the names of Yum Yum and Coke with a K. Needless to say, Yum Yum wasn't as successful as Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
As we don't have Yum Yum today.
Yo, it sounds pretty good though.
It sounds pretty Yum Yum.
Yeah.
And so after his cola names failed, he was looking to come up with a new corporation and usurp control of the cola market. On August 16th, 1888, John Pemberton suddenly died.
Probably because he did a lot of cocaine.
Probably that. Cocaine, morphine.
Sounds like a reasonable conclusion.
A lot of addictions. I couldn't actually find out how he died, but he died. Mm-hmm. He passed away. And it turns out Pemberton leaving the name of Coca-Cola to his son was a very bad idea. Charlie Pemberton, John's son, was a raging alcoholic and couldn't function too well in society. Once his father died, Chandler immediately began to attempt to buy the exclusive name rights from Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Bookkeeping wasn't as it is today, so nobody is exactly 100% sure on how the sale actually went down, but one story claims that he bought the name from Charlie's mother, approaching her at Pemberton's funeral.
Just got right on it.
Just got right on it. He basically, bought the rights from a grieving widow.
Mm-hmm.
Just took the name right out of her hands.
Yeah. Did you have to carry around the name back then, just on a piece of paper?
You did.
To prove that you had it?
Okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, Charlie's life went downhill when he was found unconscious in 1894 with a stick of opium in his side. He died 10 days later.
In his side.
At his side.
Oh, I thought you meant
a
stick of opium had pierced his abdomen.
No.
Yeah, like he had like a needle full of opium just like dug into him.
Yeah, no. Man, that's... Your life would go downhill there.
So basically he was just a raging alcoholic and then... You know, also was very interested in opium and basically just wasn't really a functioning member of society. Mm-hmm. And then died. He died at the age of 40.
Pretty,
damn.
Yeah. Poor Charlie.
Well, I'm pretty sure around that time period, opium was starting to become a big thing too. Like, I think that's around the time period that, Westerners were actually like, sailing over to China and Japan, and that's how they got a hold of opium. I think it was around this actual time period too. So.
Yeah. I mean, it was before this more, but it was still big in these days. So, yeah, and just like that, the inventor of Coca-Cola was removed from the company that we know today.
All right.
So, poor guy.
Poor dead.
Poor family.
Poor dead guy.
Poor dead guy. Yeah. So Asa Chandler made the Coca-Cola Company in 1892, and he was the sole proprietor. Eventually, the company was doled out, and Chandler had made it big. It only took, once again, prying the name out of a grieving widow's hands.
It's a way to do it.
I think they said that he bought it for like $200 to $300.
That's still not, I mean, like, obviously more money, a decent chunk of money back in 1880 or whatever, but still not that much money when we're talking about the company
the
of Coca-Cola.
Grand scheme of things, yeah. And so Coca-Cola's original logo is actually the logo that we see today. So we have the Coca-Cola.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the cursive. Yeah.
The cursive.
It just says Coca-Cola.
Cursive Coca-Cola.
Yeah, we've all seen it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is something I did not know. I did not know that that has lasted for so long.
I mean, and that's like the main logo part. They've had like spinoff logos or whatever, mm-hmm. but
and they keep using that logo because it's like now so old.
It's iconic.
And it's it's iconic.
Yeah. So those are the origins of Coca-Cola. In 1893, Caleb Bradham created a new drink called Brad's Drink. That's what it is. It's Brad's Drink.
You know, I'm here for Brad's Drink.
I'm a big fan of Brad's Drink.
I would love to get me a bottle of Brad's Drink.
Well, Sakeef, you know, that might be possible here. He created his drink at his drugstore, much like the other drink creators. Their drink was renamed to Pepsi Cola in 1898 after the word dyspepsia, which loosely it means like indigestion.
Okay.
And so basically he created he wanted to create a drink that would help with the digestion and boost energy.
Okay.
So he created Pepsi Cola.
I actually am a big fan of Pepsi Cola, to be quite honest. A lot of people actually shit on me for it too. I think you once shat on me for it, Brendan, but I am a huge fan of Pepsi Cola compared to Coca-Cola. I like Coca-Cola, but I've like in the last few years, especially, I've caught myself enjoying a Pepsi Cola, like the taste of Pepsi Cola much more than a Coca-Cola.
Well, that's great, Sakeef. We're gonna talk about some taste tests throughout here as we continue. In 1903, he moved his production out of his drugstore and into a warehouse where he increased his sales. In 1909, Pepsi Cola had its first celebrity endorsement. Automobile racer Barney Oldfield described the drink as a bully drink, refreshing, invigorating, a fine bracer before a race. I want to point out that he said a bully drink.
Yeah, I think it means kind of like just like a good drink, not really like a mean drink.
Yeah,
I know, but
that threw me off too.
But when I read it, I thought that was really funny. It's a bully drink. Only bullies drink
so,
it.
So are these things still made with cocaine at this time?
No. Brad's drink, which I really think is what we should just, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm calling Pepsi from now on.
Brad's drink. Hey, can you toss me a Brad's drink? Pardon? Brad's drink. Brad's drink, it was an entirely different recipe. Very similar, but I still think it was using the cocaine at this point. Mm-hmm. I don't think they changed it until somewhere in, like, I believe the 1920s or 30s. And that was they changed it to the coca plant extract, I believe is what it was. Yeah. Still sort of cocaine. So I can understand why he would want to use it before a race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Get that extra little kick before you get going.
Exactly. So as time went on, Pepsi-Cola entered hard times. In 1931, in the midst of the Great Depression, Pepsi-Cola entered bankruptcy. Pepsi-Cola was then sold, and then sold again and purchased by Charles Guth, president of Loft Inc. Now, Loft Inc. is essentially, it's just like a candy manufacturer.
Okay.
This bitter candy manufacturer wanted to replace all of his soda fountains with Pepsi Cola after Coca-Cola refused to give him a discount on their product.
Mm.
The formula was then retooled and changed and created the drink that we have today.
Okay.
Yeah. So, once again, this just shows that the Brad from Brad's Drink is once again removed from the company.
Yeah. So the companies, they've both moved around a little bit from their inception. And then
exactly.
They settled somewhere.
Exactly. I feel bad.
So we can't really call.
What was that?
Oh, I was going to say, we can't really call Pepsi Bradstreet.
We
can. Can we?
I am.
We can. Can we? We can.
Can we still do it? Yes. I mean, you just said that the company was sold, so.
Well, it doesn't
I mean,
matter.
Had it been.
It was created by Caleb.
I know, but.
It was created by Caleb Bradham, the initial company.
Okay.
And even if the company
That's
has
fair.
Been sold.
Still Bradstreet.
The original creator
still
is still Bradstreet. Yeah. So, okay. Still Bradstreet. Okay.
Still Bradstreet.
Bradstreet.
Yeah. Anyway, note that Coca-Cola had the opportunity to purchase Pepsi-Cola on three separate occasions and declined each time.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, it. You know, we could have a Super-Cola instead of, you know, what we have today where we
instead
have...
Instead of the diverse market that
the
we experience
The diverse market
today.
That we experience today.
Yeah.
You know, because having a diverse market is absolutely a terrible idea. Why are we even doing this?
Anyway, so Sakiv, you like Pepsi more, right? Bradstreet?
I do like Bradstreet more, I think.
and so it is to note that that Pepsi or Bradstreet, as we're gonna remain or continue to call it, it's generally considered sweeter. So it's definitely has a sweeter flavor, whereas Coca-Cola, it wasn't as sweet. So those are sort of the differences, and you know, there have been many taste tests throughout history, which, you know, this sort of created the phenomenon known as the Cola Wars.
Oh, they were deadly.
Cue the Imperial March here, because the Cola Wars have begun.
That's really, did they just use that audio for the Star Wars movies?
They did. Sakiv wrote it.
Just did it? Yeah. Wow. Just the bang.
Before I was even born, I had written that
wow.
whole thing.
That was amazing.
I know. Before I was even a twinkle in my mother's eye.
I don't know how to respond to that.
You have a strange conception of where babies come from.
I know where babies come from.
Yeah, eye twinkles.
Eye twinkles.
Haven't you ever heard that, I had the word on the tip of my tongue and now I can't remember. That expression.
Yeah.
I have not heard that expression.
Really, Brendan? Wow. It is a frequently used expression. As I've heard
in
it
Sakiv's
used
house, it is
in regards.
Was it a frequently used expression in 1981? Because in 1981, PepsiCo came out with a new marketing campaign that really started a shift in the cola market. Now
the cola wars.
Yeah, sorry, the cola wars. Now Pepsi has always been a smaller corporation than Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we actually watch that campaign here? The first commercial for that. So here is the Pepsi challenge.
You're about to take the Pepsi challenge. You know I have two bottles of cola back here.
Good old
and
Gabe
you don't
Kaplan.
Know which is which.
No, I don't.
We have never met before.
That's correct.
Wait. Okay, except at my sister's wedding. But besides that, we've never met. Okay, now I'm going to pick this up and tell me which one you chose.
Pepsi.
He chose Pepsi.
You know, in tests like these nationwide, more people prefer to taste the Pepsi over Coca-Cola.
Pepsi's much better.
It's delicious. It's down nice and smooth. The taste is good.
It's great. Take the Pepsi challenge. Let your taste decide. Right, guys?
I'm
it's
really
great.
Digging this guy's mustache and hair.
Yeah.
So I think it's really funny that for whatever reason they decided to include all of those guys' names
right.
as if they're like people that we know.
Which you couldn't hear in the audio, but on the video it named all of the participants had names.
Yep. Yep. They all had little names. Yeah. Anyway.
I also think it's funny that they did this as if it was a test of efficacy, like you would do this test for like a medicine to see which medicine is most effective. You would do like a blind test. They did a blind test here just to prove to you that other people like Pepsi more, but it really doesn't prove anything to you. If you've tasted both Coke and Pepsi, you already know what you prefer. So it's an interesting idea of how we're influenced by what we think should taste better rather than what we actually perceive as tasting better.
Well, yeah. And that's and that's really a big thing. I mean, this goes to like brand recognition. There's a lot of stuff with brand recognition where, like, for instance, I think that I probably grew up drinking Coke a lot more, so I feel like Coke is the better product when I've never really done a blind taste test between the two. I just know for years I've always liked Coke, and so that's the one that I prefer. Yes, Akif.
Curtis, you brought, like, an interesting point of, like, in a blind taste test, you know, you already know, like, there's already brand loyalty because you already know what you prefer. But, you know, I actually had this chat with a coworker of mine today, earlier today, because I had mentioned to him that we were going to be doing this episode on Coca-Cola and stuff. And then he brought up the blind taste test idea. Like, you know, he mentioned how he had heard that, like, in blind taste tests, like, when people have to pick between Coke and Pepsi, they don't really notice the difference. Like, they have a hard time telling the difference. I'm on your side though, Curtis. I just wanted to say, like, I do think that there is still a sense of, even if it is a blind taste test, like, you pour both drinks into two separate cups that aren't labeled, and you try them out and you don't know which one is which. I still think you at least have an idea of which one is which.
Yeah. I feel like I can tell.
I don't think you can.
I think I can identify the taste of Pepsi and Coke, even blind.
And you know, this is exactly, not only we had the commercial here, but this is exactly what PepsiCo did. They actually set up little booths all around the country, and you could take the Pepsi challenge. It turns out, you know, we, just like the people in the 1980s, really like challenges. You know, we went through, like, the ice bucket challenge, the cinnamon challenge, all the stupid challenges,
the death challenge where you just fight to the death.
Yeah,
remember that one?
I'm a fan of the death challenge.
It killed a lot of people.
Yeah, but anyways, that's what they did. They had booths all over, and so, I mean, obviously results varied city to city, but generally people actually did pick Pepsi more often, about 12% of the time.
That's okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And that this was, like, back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Do you have any statistics for present day?
I do not, because they don't do this anymore. This was their ad campaign. Coke spent almost $100 million more on advertising annually, but because of this like commercial and this marketing campaign. Their commanding lead of the market fell from the 60% that they were only to 22% ahead in just a few short years.
Wow, that is a big drop.
So Coke was still in the lead, but Pepsi was making up the ground.
Exactly. With this genius ad campaign.
Just revolutionary, mind-blowing.
We're going to compare it and then...
Just like Isaac Newton and calculus, you know?
It's just amazing. Anyway, so Coke was still, they still had the lead, but they were hoping to keep the lead and make sure that they were going to actually maintain it because in this, like, based on what's happened, they were going to lose the lead pretty soon. So desperate times call for drastic measures. So, sometime in late 1984 or early 1985, CEO Roberto, I'm going to butcher this so hard, Goizetta, I'm going to go with Goizetta, began Project Kansas.
Project Kansas.
A project to create a new drink that would launch them ahead of their adversary.
Okay.
I think it's funny that it has a project.
And when was this project?
It was started in either late 1984 or early 1985.
Okay, so is this around the time that Tab came out?
That what came out?
Tab Cola.
Tab.
I have no clue.
Tab Cola.
I have no clue. Know.
It's not. It's not Pepsi or Coke, so I didn't look into it. So his scientists were able to change the old formula, which was called Merchandise 7X. And they had gotten to the point to make it taste different, because the goal was to make it taste different and make it a more interesting drink for people to drink. So they decided to abandon the use of actual sugar to replace it with high fructose corn syrup, or syrup, which we use today, giving it a much longer shelf life and making it cheaper to make. And this was among other changes, but that was really one of the big ones. And so they did a lot of sampling, and they did a lot of blind taste tests, and they were able to find out that 8% chose the new cola, or new Coke, over Pepsi. 8% chose it over Pepsi, while 20 chose it 20% more over original Coke. So clearly, this is, you know, what they wanted. They have new Coke. It's being chosen more than Pepsi and original Coke. You know, win-win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, 11% of the participants were hostile to the new formula. They didn't want it because Americans don't like change.
Right. New is bad.
New is bad.
New. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never changed clothes in my entire life.
Yeah. New is bad.
I was born in these clothes.
They're a little tight, Curtis.
Yeah, they're kind of small now. But new's bad.
Did they stretch with you?
They stretched a little bit, but not enough.
Not enough.
I'm huge.
Anyway, Goizetta decided to go with the formula, you know, despite the 11% feeling that they were going to be betrayed by their favorite cola company.
Okay.
So this was the first change in the formula since they stopped using cocaine in production. First change since. Since that.
I think that first change was a big change.
It was a big change.
So the second change seems like it wouldn't be as big, but
yeah.
How did it go?
So the whole process cost them over $4 million.
Man, that's a lot and to they, change a fucking
yeah.
soda.
Cost them $4 million and they had 200,000 people actually like do tests with it. Like,
wow.
Like the public with blind taste tests.
They put a lot of R&D into this new formula, it sounds like.
Yeah. And so thus introduced new Coke. Now, Bill Cosby is synonymous for being in Coca-Cola commercials, at least back then. So we're gonna watch a Bill Cosby Coca-Cola commercial about New Coke.
The incredible has happened. The impossible has become a reality. Coke actually tastes better than ever before. Yes, Coke has a new taste. And I'm standing here with this ice-cold, thirst-quenching, deliciously satisfying Coca-Cola, and it actually tastes better. Now, you know me. I always loved Coke for years and years. I like this Coke better.
You knew this about
it. The new taste of Coca-Cola, better than ever before. Now, more than ever, Coke is it.
The slogan of Coke is it, I feel like, is really funny.
Wow.
There's another Bill Cosby commercial where he's like, you know what? That's all I need to say. I'm not going to say anything else. And then takes a sip of it and then looks over to like someone off screen and he's like, yeah, this is really good. And then realized that he said something. He's like, sorry. And then like covers his mouth again.
Yep. He realized he actually
said something.
Drank the drink he was going to give to the woman off screen. And then he was like, oh, hold on, I'm passing out. And then.
Yeah.
Because Bill Cosby turned out to be a rapist.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand how that commercial sells.
It's just Bill Cosby being like,
it's
hey,
Bill
this
Cosby
is a good thing.
Being
and
like,
I'm
this
popular.
Is a good drink.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that sells.
I mean, it's just normal celebrity endorsement.
And he kind of like just like stuttered.
That's what.
Like, did you guys notice he kind of just stuttered along with it? Like, he was just kind of like, he wasn't going anywhere with it. He just kind of went back over exactly what he was saying.
That was like Bill Cosby's thing, though. He was like, he just made weird noises and stuttered and
repeated
that
himself.
Was like what drove him to fame.
That's what Bill Cosby does.
And drugs people.
Unfortunately.
But anyway,
Bill Cosby aside here, New Coke. So it's this big thing. And from the numbers, they said that, you know, clearly people are going to like it because it's tested well. And as I said, they did 200,000 people in testing.
Right, they had a
large
sample size. Large
sample size, very large sample size. So one thing that they also did was that they did away entirely with the old Coca-Cola recipe. So you couldn't buy it anymore. It was gone.
Yeah, they just patched Coca-Cola.
Exactly. And because of this, and like the public knew it was coming. They knew that New Coke was coming and that old Coke, you wouldn't be able to get it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so theoretically, you know, this should, you know, increase sales because it's a better drink.
Theoretically.
Unfortunately, for Coca-Cola, that was actually not the case. A lot of people felt like the new Coca-Cola was bad. It didn't taste very good. It wasn't the same as old Coca-Cola. And PepsiCo capitalized on that. This was one of, like, this was such a large blunder that it was just terrible. They... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, like, I'm just noticing a trend here with just the way people behave regarding products that they're so used to. I mean, like, it's just bringing me flashbacks of things that I've gone through personally with businesses I've worked for. And it's like, literally, like, when something changes that someone is used to for so long and then it's gone or it's been altered or something like that, people literally flip the fuck out and they're like, you used to be able to do this thing, or you used to be able to get this thing. Why can't you get this thing anymore? You guys are the worst. We're not gonna buy your thing anymore. We're gonna go to your competitor. It's like literally the same. It's like human nature. It's just like embedded into people.
People don't like change, and so
yeah, people don't like
change. So why don't we watch a couple commercials of PepsiCo and their response to the new cola.
I am interested in this.
What's the matter, Wilbur?
They changed my Coke.
Something wrong with it?
I know, but they sure changed it.
Coulda asked.
But coulda. I stuck with them through three wars and a couple of dust storms, but this is too much.
This is too much.
Big made them change.
Right, big.
Oh my gosh.
I changed my Coke.
Right big. Pepsi.
Rob
the
big.
Choice of a new generation.
Still could have asked.
A new generation?
The choice of a new generation.
That was the oldest men on the planet.
that changed my Coke.
Okay, I don't like it.
That was
man,
great.
People in the 80s really like this is not important, guys.
Coke changing is not important.
It's literally a drink.
I love the guy in the back.
It's not like a life or death situation.
I love the guy in the back who was like, they could have changed, or he said they could have asked.
Yeah.
They could have asked. Yeah, they're going to ask the guy who's been through three wars and a dust bowl.
Yeah, they're going to ask you, Wilbur.
Wilbur. Anyway, so that was, and that was a successful commercial. Because Coke changed, and they capitalized on the fact that Coke changed. Here, we're going to watch another one here. And this one is, you know, actually going to be the cola of a new generation. This one is quite funny.
Can somebody out there tell me why Coke did it? Why have they changed? First, they said they were the real thing. Then they said they were it. Then kablooey, they changed.
Then kablooey.
Now, I'm going to try my first Pepsi.
Wow.
I still want to know why Coke changed.
This girl is so betrayed.
Now I know why.
Pepsi, the choice of a new generation.
This is like...
Oh my gosh.
Really?
And I just want to know why they did it. Why'd they change?
That was like really kind of upsetting.
She was... She was upset, and then immediately she tried the Pepsi, and she's like, oh, man, my opinion has changed. Now I know why they changed. And these commercials were successful. If you read some of the comments on this video, there's a guy in the comments who talks about how he wasn't sure who the girl was, and he had a huge crush on her as a child. And people, you know, told him who it was, and he was really excited about it. Like this actually made him think about going to Pepsi, and like this was an effective commercial.
Mm-hmm.
It just baffles me that this was an effective commercial.
I mean, this was an important, there was less to do in the 80s, I guess. I don't know. Like, no one had hobbies, so they had to care about Coke and Pepsi. No one knew how to, like, go for a walk and enjoy a sunset, I guess. People forgot about that.
Yep. It just baffles me. So those were physical commercials that you know, people saw on TV. And these were nowhere near like the I guess these were some of the more ridiculous ones. But I love how their ad campaign referred to the fact that Coke changed, mm-hmm. and how they got betrayed, mm-hmm. and they were banking off that.
I feel like it's a common business practice too, to like notice, like to take notice of, you know, if your competitor has hit a stumbling block and you look at the marketing and you notice that it's happening. I mean, of course you take advantage. Like, you're like, hey, check out our competitors. Like, they did this thing that you all hate. Well, we're not going to do this thing that you all hate. We're still here, mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah. And so here are a couple stories about how angry people were at Coca-Cola. There's a story of a woman in Georgia who assaulted a new Coke delivery man while he was stocking the shelves, saying, you bastard, you ruined it. It tastes like shit.
Man, that's just...
It was his fault.
And it's all that guy's
fault.
Guy who stocked the new Coke. Yep. He's the one who, you know, he's the reason you're drinking new Coke.
She was hitting him with her umbrella.
Man, this is like, people love to do this thing where they just like, everyone who works for Coca-Cola is one entity, is one hive mind.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I can complain to any one of them and it will reach its way up to the highest consciousness of Coca-Cola. Yeah, people just love to do that.
Yeah. Fidel Castro said in response to the new Coke, you know, being created, it was yet another example of capitalist decadence.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, he's right. I agree with him.
And Gabe Mullins, the founder of Old Cola Drinkers of America. That's a real group.
Let's talk about capital decadence. Capitalist decadence, rather.
That is a real group. I believe it still exists to this day. Old Cola Drinkers of America. He actually attempted to file a lawsuit against Coca-Cola to force them to bring back the old taste.
That's just very stupid.
Not something that you can do.
Yep, no. I'm going to just force you to make a product. Brendan, you have to make shoes now.
But I don't
want to. I want you to make shoes very badly.
I don't want to make shoes.
Too bad.
I don't want to be a cobbler.
You have hurt me by not making shoes.
Curtis is going to sue you, Brendan.
Cobble now.
Don't do it.
Damn it.
Start cobbling.
And so his lawsuit was rejected.
Duh.
Obviously. And the judge who rejected it, even responded to add insult to injury, pointed out that he preferred Pepsi. So,
What? I wish I was a judge in the
80s. I feel like his response was, your suit is stupid and I like Pepsi more, so no.
This is like the guy who tried to sue the Large Hadron Collider from Hawaii. And the Large Hadron Collider is like in Sweden or wherever it is.
Yeah.
And you just can't do that.
Yeah. Like, no jurisdiction.
It's a lot of stupid
stuff.
For
the folks at home. Yeah. And for the folks at home who have, who don't already know, we did an episode on the Large Hadron Collider. That was episode 39. And there will be more on the Large Hadron Collider in the future.
Self-plug.
Coming from us.
Bam, bam. Bam, bam.
So So as you can see, there's a big backlash. People feel betrayed by Coca-Cola.
Yeah,
they hate it.
Coke wasted a lot of
time. Wasted a lot of time, a lot of money, and you know, and they're losing a lot of money right now too. So on July 11th, 1985, Coca-Cola returned to shelves. Coca-Cola Classic returned to shelves after only 79 days of the new product being there.
They caved into marketing and consumerism trends, which is totally valid.
A CBS broadcast actually stopped the show that they were playing to bring in this breaking news. And so once again, Coca-Cola's numbers increased handsomely, giving themselves a more commanding lead in the Cola Wars.
Brendan, I have a question for you. Because I know this isn't the only time that Coke has been pulled from the market, like Coca-Cola has been pulled from the market. So, but is this the biggest reference you're going to be making tonight?
What do you mean?
Oh, we might get to it, but if we don't, I'll bring it up.
Okay.
Of another major Coca-Cola change that happened during our lives.
Okay.
Mysterious. Ooh. Anyway.
So I mean, the big question is, you know, clearly it just seems like Coca-Cola decided to do a thing, they screwed up, and then they fixed it.
Yeah,
right?
They were like, okay, that didn't work.
And so the real question is, you know, we're a conspiracy theory podcast. Why are we talking about New Coke?
Right.
Because that's the real question.
We have so far only just described
what happened.
We have just done a small research project on the New Coke and the history of Coca-Cola and Pepsi.
Yes. So according to the official story, you know, that's what happened. They tried something new. They screwed up. They fixed it. But according to conspiracy theorists, it is believed that Coca-Cola knowingly introduced New Coke as an inferior product and knew that sales would tank. Now, this is a very bold move.
Would be a bold move.
To know that your product wasn't good and it was going to be bad. Because when New Coke was first introduced, sales actually went up. Mostly just people like, I want to try New Coke. I want to try how it is.
Mm-hmm.
They found out it was bad.
They found out it was different.
Sorry, yes, different.
Because they already tested. The funny thing is that Coke already knew it wasn't bad. Coke already knew that people liked it. What people hated was just that it was different.
Exactly. So I mean, the big question is, why would Coca-Cola introduce an inferior product if they knew it was inferior?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because a large question, you know, with conspiracy theories is, sure, you know, let's say that what you say is true,
right?
But like, why? Who does it benefit?
Right.
And so it is said that they knew that the outrage would ensure that customers would want the old product, thus wanting it more.
Right, they would
begin to really crave it.
Because they've been denied it.
Exactly. And so that's sort of what the original theory is. It's basically just them getting rid of the... And one of the large parts about this is also that they potentially wanted to change the product. They were really looking to use just high fructose corn syrup because it's a lot cheaper than cane sugar.
Yeah,
it's a lot cheaper.
Right. In terms of resource management, you know, if you know something is cheaper, as a company, you are going to do what you think is best for your company. What's going to help, you know, lower the cost of production while increasing, you know, sales and revenue.
Exactly.
You know? Which is, you know, when you look at it from a company standpoint, it's a logical action to take. When you look at it from a consumer standpoint, it's, what the hell are you doing? Why are you changing something that's already good?
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So it totally makes sense that people feel betrayed. It's interesting that conspiracy theorists believe that they did this on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, and so one of the big things is that they wanted to change the formula and make it cheaper to make. So as I said, you know, they're going to replace the sugar with high fructose corn syrup, which once again is very cheaper. Now the issue is that theoretically that tastes different.
Yeah, a little bit.
It tastes a little different than the classic Coke with sugar that that people are familiar to. So the idea is that if they get rid of classic Coke, they get rid of it all entirely, people can't buy it anymore, they introduce new Coke, then people, you know, will try new Coke, they'll think it's bad, and then they will try the classic Coke once it's reintroduced a little bit later. There are no classic Coke, there's no classic Coke on the market for you to compare the new classic Coke to.
Mm-hmm. Thus the making new classic Coke now still has high fructose corn syrup in it.
Exactly. It's still made with high fructose corn syrup, and it's almost made entirely with high fructose corn syrup. So, or like all the Coke today.
They just pour high fructose corn syrup straight into a can straight into the can. Hand it to you.
So, I mean, in that sense, then, like, it was originally made with sugar. Then they introduced new Coke, which was made with high fructose corn syrup.
And it
then
was, they got the backlash.
And so they changed it back. But if they changed it back, do you, it kind of, like, from what you're saying, it sounds like they just kind of changed
Sakeev, what you're missing is that new Coke did use high fructose corn syrup, but it was also a different formula. So it was changed generally. It was changed more than just with high fructose corn syrup. So if you go in and reintroduce classic Coke, but the only change was high fructose corn syrup, thus it makes it cheaper to make, and it tastes very similar to classic Coke, like classic Coke, but people won't be able to tell the difference because they can't compare it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels familiar, but it's not the same drink.
Right.
And so that's... that's really the conspiracy theory here.
Okay, now that's
as well
making sense. My bad.
Like Coke did well once they reintroduced
exactly.
Old Coke,
also,
like their sales surged, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So also, like, you know, creating a drought of a product, introducing an inferior product, and then reintroducing the old product. You know, interest goes back up because people aren't sure exactly when it's going to, you know, leave again, if it's going to leave. For instance, when the Eggo waffles plant, like, burned down, I don't remember where, but it burned down, and people were freaking out because they thought that they weren't going to be able to get Eggo waffles anymore. And so people were selling them on eBay for, like, $50 a box, which is ridiculous.
It's a lot for Eggos.
Yeah.
I would let someone hold on to those Eggos.
Yeah.
Instead of asking them to release the Eggos.
Exactly. Anyway, so I mean, so clearly, you know, shortage in the market, people wanted you know, the old thing. And that's and that's like a big part of it.
Yeah, and Disney does this with their movies. They have the Disney Vault, and they put all their they like lock away their classic movies and don't sell them for a while, and then they're like, "We're opening up the vault. We're going to sell The Little Mermaid." And it's the stupid Little Mermaid movie that came out 40 billion years ago, but they still make money, and it's like people, and they charge like the full price of a brand new movie for this thing for an old movie they just decided to start selling again.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. But
it's a great marketing plan.
It is. It's genius. I don't understand why people buy them, but they do.
It's
probably a combination of nostalgia factor and that inner collection, like need to collect something.
Yeah, I mean it's all supply and demand. So let's talk about So we've talked about sort of the conspiracy theory and sort of potentially the thoughts about it. Let's talk about the legitimacy of it, because that's always fun to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So in the year 1980, this is before Project Kansas occurred, bottlers were given the green light to change half of the cane sugar to high fructose corn syrup, so thus cutting costs.
So Coke already had half.
Half.
Okay.
Yeah. And a mere 6 months before introducing new Coke, bottlers were using exclusively high fructose corn syrup as a sweetener.
So they had sort of already switched.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
But they had just slowly eased their way into it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way to do it. That's then no one would be able to tell the difference because it would have been very gradual.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been gradual. It's like poisoning people, but it's like slowly poisoning people.
That's kind of what Coca-Cola does.
Yeah. And so Coca-Cola president Donald Keogh? What is that name?
What is that name? Man, probably it looks like Koth.
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 Koth. Donald.
Donald.
Anyway, so Coca-Cola president Donald, the Donald is what they called him back then. They didn't call him
that. They didn't. No one is called that. I think anyone in the whole world. I don't think anyone's called the Donald.
Anyway, so Coca-Cola president Donald says, the truth is, we're not that dumb, and we're not that smart. That's in response to the
supposed conspiracy.
Yeah, supposed conspiracy. Basically, they're not that dumb to try that.
And they're not.
They're also not that smart to try that.
To see that work.
Yeah. So theoretically, it is a false thing. That being said, people are gonna, you know, think what they're gonna think.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're like dating someone, and then you're just you become an alcoholic for a while, and they start to hate you, and then you get your shit together, and they're like, "Man, I really love you again." Kind of like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But with
New Coke,
but with a drink.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter.
Exactly. So. So I guess the real question is, and I don't know the answer to this either, but people have given me the answer.
Well, then how am
online.
I supposed to know, Brendan?
The real question is, what did New Coke taste like? I reached out to several family members and family friends who were around in 1985 to see what New Coke tastes like.
I don't know.
None of them knew. None of them, like, they potentially thought that they might have had it, but they weren't sure, so they couldn't really give me an answer. They said it might have been sweeter, smoother, I don't know.
And it was really only on the market for 79 days.
No,
right?
It's still continued. New Coke.
Oh, yeah, it was right. Still okay. There until, like, what, 1992 is when it was still known as New Coke, and then they changed it to Coca-Cola 2 or something
yeah.
like that?
Yep, it was Coke 2.
Coke 2.
I don't know why they needed to change the name there, but they did. Coke 2. And so you'll notice that that products these days, Coca-Cola, for whatever reason, they still have the classic on here.
They say, yeah, they say Coca-Cola classic.
The can that I'm holding in front of me, why don't we open up this for you? It
Ooh,
says
crisp.
Crisp. It says original taste at the top. I bought this today.
Yeah, original. This is 2017. They're still demarcating the cans as original taste. Yeah.
For the longest time, until I believe like 1990, like 8 or 7 or something, it said Coca-Cola Classic.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah. And
I do remember this as well.
And Coca-Cola was also diluting the market as well with trying Cherry Coke and Vanilla Coke mm-hmm. and everything. So they were actually taking like. The measurements of which soda was being more successful was solely based on which soda. So theoretically, Coca-Cola was raking in money from, not theoretically, they were raking in money from Cherry Coke and Coke spinoffs, but they were taking away from the
classic formula.
From the classic
so
formula.
So like the total money they were making would have been the same whether or not they had the new formula or not.
Exactly.
Because they were just dividing up all the money they were already making.
Exactly. But Pepsi was still always number two. So what does New Coke taste like? You see, that's the big question. I was not able to find someone, as I said, in person, but I did find out that there was an Ask Reddit post. So here are some comments from Reddit.
I'm sure some studious educator documented thoroughly what the new Coke tasted like.
Yeah. User Ghost Digi says Pepsi. It tasted exactly like Pepsi.
Okay.
Because it was basically New Coke was a sweeter formula.
Yeah.
Inquisitive Idjit claims, like regular Coke, but syrupy, sweeter. You miss nothing. Crystal Pepsi, on the other hand, was kind of mind-blowing and felt futuristic. I have never had Crystal Pepsi.
I watched a YouTube video of someone, a year ago, drinking, like, a 20-year-old Crystal Pepsi, and then he vomited.
we're probably due for Crystal Pepsi to come back.
I think
soon.
It literally did.
Did it come back?
I think it literally did, yeah. I don't know another way to say that, so I'm going to say it again. I think it literally did.
Okay. cool. And from Roberto Goizetta, the CEO himself, he says, I would say it's smoother, rounder, yet bolder. Those uhs were his quote.
That's interesting.
So he felt it was better. And Goizetta always felt the new Coke was better and didn't regret the change to the formula, especially because it turned out very well for him afterwards, after the fact. New Coke eventually left shelves altogether and was rebranded as Coke 2, which Goizetta drank until the day he died in 1997.
From drinking too much Coke 2.
Potentially. So why don't we talk about, you know, sort of the winner of the Cola Wars?
Just a quick update. Crystal Pepsi did have brief re-releases in 2015, 16, and 17.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, damn. We missed it.
Well, it may still be happening.
Well, hopefully it comes out in 2018, too.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
We'll have to get it. Anyway, so why don't we talk about the numbers today? Because, you know, this sort of gives us a conclusion on sort of who is winning the Cola Wars. Because Pepsi and Coke aren't going anywhere anytime soon. Mm-hmm. They're going to stick around. So according to a study taken place in 2014, Coke controls 42% of the carbonated soft drink market, while Pepsi only controls about 30% of the market. Now, this includes all of their beverages, all of their carbonated beverages that they have. So that includes like Sprite, you know, all that jazz, 7-Up. I think it's called Twist Mist.
Yeah, what
now.
Were those numbers again?
Coke controls 42%, while Pepsi controls 30%.
Okay.
So there is, so they total, they control 72% of the entire market.
Yeah. I mean, Coke just seems so much more ubiquitous to me. Like, you just see Coke advertisements everywhere.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, like if you look at the United States exclusively, there are parts of the nation where, you know, you call soft drinks, you call them sodas, you call them soft drinks, you call them pop. There's parts of the United States, and it's mostly in the South, where they just call all soft drinks a Coke.
Yep.
Hey, can you cost me that Coke? And then they're like, what kind? And then you say Sprite. But Sprite's not Coke.
And this is actually I know a little bit about this. Like, this is a copyright issue that companies can run into. Like, for instance, if your product, say it's Coca-Cola, if the name of your product becomes so ubiquitous that people start using it for all types of that product, such as calling any soda Coke, if that becomes common usage enough, it actually becomes possible to argue in court. Like, Pepsi could start saying, this is a Coke.
Yep.
Pepsi could say, this is Pepsi Coke.
This is Pepsi
Coke. And if it was a common usage enough, they could successfully argue that in court. So there is like, so you hear companies will say like Coke brand soda because they don't want that like usage to become that ubiquitous. So yep. Brands want their name to become very popular, but they don't want it to become so popular that the language literally like warps the meaning of it.
And so, yeah. And so it's not just Coca-Cola. It would just nobody just Coke.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Cola is a free range word, but they don't want Coke.
Yeah, cola's very commonly used.
And maybe that's how Coke got around it, is they sort of released cola for anyone to use and hung on to the Coca and to the Coke part.
Yeah. So Pepsi's overall numbers are actually increasing. They're on the rise right now.
Interesting.
And they're taking a commanding lead against Coke. But not in the soft drink market. They're taking a commanding lead because they were looking towards healthy alternatives. Mm-hmm. Pepsi owns a lot of basically just healthy alternative drinks and foods. So basically they have all that. And their company is actually bigger at the current moment I checked the stock prices today at around like 2:30-ish today. And PepsiCo stock is worth $117.77. And it's been up 30%. So it's on the rise. And this is very close to the highest the stock has ever been in price wise. Guess how much the Coca-Cola stock is worth?
No. I refuse to guess because I don't know.
No idea.
And I don't want to look stupid.
$45.28.
That's not as much. That's less.
They're down 0.10%.
That is quite less.
Than what they, yeah. So they're on the decline.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have our winner. I mean, at the current moment.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't think there's ever going to be a winner of the Cola.
Well, it depends on if you're, like Pepsi, the company, is adapting generally.
Exactly.
But it depends on if you define like the company itself or the drink itself.
Yeah, I mean, yep, that's a big thing. Coca-Cola then followed suit with PepsiCo. And so they are also looking for healthy alternatives. For instance, they own Smart Water.
Right, which is water.
Yeah,
which is water. Normal
it's just water. But people think it's better for you than just normal water.
Because it says smart on it.
This is smart
and
on
it's more expensive.
I'm smart. I drink smart water.
Smart water makes you smart?
Smart water makes you smart.
Except it's just water.
Yeah. But anyway,
and Coca-Cola owns Dasani.
Yeah.
It's true. Dasani is actually the same as Smart Water, did you know? And it's also the same as the water that comes out of your tap when you turn on your faucet. Did
it's
you
the
know
same
that too?
Water.
It's all the same water.
That's its own conspiracy theory.
Thank you for educating me, yeah. Curtis. Thank you for educating
us. I just want everyone listening to know that next time you're about to buy a bottle of water, instead turn on your water faucet.
Yeah.
And put your mouth around your water faucet and just let it flow into you.
If for whatever reason you don't like the taste, you know, just buy a filter.
Yeah.
So you make a solid point that all water is the same, and at the same time, there are differences between water because there's hard water, soft water.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
distilled water.
You can get really in depth into how like water tastes based on like where it comes from because of like what it's being surrounded by.
You see, but we're not talking about the water wars today.
We're not.
It's true. We're talking about Coke.
We're not talking about Mad Max.
We're not talking about Mad Max. Anyway, so that's all I have for you guys today.
Well, I got one more thing for you, Brendan, that I wanted to mention earlier.
Okay.
Do you guys remember Coca-Cola C2?
No.
Really? Wow. Okay. I'm the only one who remembered this. I couldn't remember the exact name of this, so I just looked this up. But yeah, I totally remember looking at the can. Do you remember this guy right here?
Is that like an energy drink? Was that the intent?
Coca-Cola C2 was, I remember I was living in Atlanta at the time when this came out. You know, I remember my uncle bringing it home and like, he was like, hey, look at this new Coke.
You all gathered around
like
the warm fire and drank C2.
And it was just like, I just remember this new Coke coming and I was like, what's the difference between this and regular Coke? And I thought that they had discontinued regular Coke at this time too, because I don't remember seeing regular Coke in the market for a while. But I mean, I was also a kid, so. But I was frequently not seeing regular Coke. Instead, I was seeing this Coca-Cola C2. I didn't know what the difference was, but on looking at it, looks like they had introduced Coke C2 as a, you know, because at the time, like, people were, you know, there was a low carbohydrate diet happening.
Okay.
Like, trend happening.
Yep.
And this was, like, Coca-Cola's, like, you know,
low carbs.
This was Coca-Cola's like entry into the low carb diet.
So it was low carb Coke.
And this product first released in Japan, it looks like. It is low carb Coke.
Low carb Coke.
Okay.
Curiously enough, I thought this product was actually pulled off the market like after only a couple years, but it looks like, oh, nope, it was discontinued in 2007. Somewhere here it says it stayed on shelves. Nope, I got it mixed up. But in 2013, they brought Coca-Cola Life. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Yeah, I'm vaguely familiar with
probably.
That's the green bottle mm-hmm. of Coke that has stevia as the sweetener.
Yeah.
So my question is, do you guys think that Coca-Cola is bold enough or smart enough to pull off getting rid of their product and then bringing it back, hoping that people would like it more? Do you think that they were bold enough to make that move, smart enough to make that move?
I mean, you could argue they're trying to do that right now with Coke Zero.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't know. Conspiracy theories could be saying they're trying to pull the same scheme with Coke Zero.
What are they? Are they getting rid of Coke Zero?
I guess you didn't heard, but here, but a few months ago.
Guess you didn't heard.
I guess you didn't heard.
Rid of my Coke. Guess you didn't heard. They got rid of my Coke.
They didn't even ask.
So, if you haven't heard about it, there might be some of our podcast listeners who have not heard about this either, but Coca-Cola Zero was removed from the market. Oh.
They didn't even ask me.
And it was replaced. What'd you
say,
Curtis?
They didn't even ask me.
They could have asked. I went through three wars and a dust bowl with Coke Zero.
So Coke Zero was pulled from the market recently, like a few months ago. And it was replaced with Coke Zero Sugar. And just as a little more background information, I had actually dug into this a little bit when this was announced. Coke Zero Sugar has actually been on the market for several years, I think, in other countries. Like, other countries have Coke Zero Sugar, but they just call it Coke Zero. So, you know, here in America, they decided, well, we want to use the same formula. We're just going to pull the current Coke Zero formula and replace it with this new Coke Zero formula. But we can't just do that, so we're going to call it Coke Zero Sugar.
Here in America, we don't like change. That's why we don't want to take down Confederate statues, because we don't like change.
Yep. I mean, different countries do have different products in them.
Yep.
Even, like, the same company will release different products in different countries. Like, there's no Diet Coke in Europe. It's all Coke Light. And there's no, like, all the McDonald's are called, like, McCafés in Europe. So, like, things get rebranded for different places. So
yeah.
that's that. As far as do I think Coca-Cola like knowingly tanked their own product so that they could like come back with it. I don't think they planned all that far ahead. I think they literally tried to do something new. It didn't work, and then they were like, "Well, shit. Okay, we'll just go back to doing the old thing."
That is exactly how I feel.
Yeah, and as you said, Brendan, like, the guy who actually created New Coke was proud of it up until the day he died. Like, he loved New Coke.
I mean, he didn't create it. His scientist created it, but he was the guy. He was the CEO. He greenlighted it, and he loved the stuff. He, to his deathbed, thought that it was way better than mm-hmm. Coca-Cola.
New Coke
classic.
Was his vision.
When you have the CEO of the company saying, "I loved this stuff," you know, you kind of, like, it's kind of hard to believe that he could have planned to introduce an inferior product in order to boost sales.
It would be amazing if they thought about this, because that would be genius. I think that would be amazing if they thought that this would work.
It'd be like Einstein.
Yeah, I mean,
in relativity.
I mean, there's a lot of thinking that you got to do to come to that conclusion. I mean, and one of the reasons why it was able to bounce back was that 1985 was around, like, they had been around for about 100 years at that point.
Right. They had established themselves.
Exactly.
Well.
They were very established. No way a smaller company could do that. Not at all. No way.
Yep. What do you think, like, if a company today, like, what if there was, like, a new Facebook came out, like,
a new flavor Facebook?
Do you think we'd all riot?
Haven't people already tried to, I mean, the thing is that you know, when the new iPhone comes out or when the new, you know, Facebook update or whatever, people are outraged.
They do kind of like
a couple months and then they get over it and get used to it.
Not even, it's like 7 days and then they don't even notice. And then it changes again and then they complain.
Yeah.
And
people were like, oh man, you know, the Facebook app, why can't they just have Messenger integrated? Why do we got to get the Messenger app? Ugh, I hate it. And then people just download the app and get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
People don't like change. I feel like that's the conclusion that we're coming to.
That is the conclusion. But it's like literally like just do the thing and you'll be fine. Like most cases are do the thing that you're fighting against and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's not going to ruin your life.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about something based in consumerism for our final episode of the year. That's right, you heard it here first. This is the final episode of the year. We'll be coming back next year early on, and we will see you guys then.
I'm glad they heard it here first.
Yeah, I don't know where else they would hear it.
CNN, Mulder was right, is going to take a couple weeks off for the holidays.
So as I said, we want to do something consumerism-based, and this was one of the consumerism based.
Because Christmas
Christmas is coming.
Consumerism.
Consumerism, yeah. Very, very consumerism based.
Treat retail store employees well. It's coming from
they already haven't, Sakeef.
Yeah.
At this point, they've already murdered several people.
I just want our listeners to understand that retail workers also have feelings and
lives.
A lot of you are probably retail workers, but if you aren't
How do you know this?
What does that mean?
Yeah, how do you know that all our listeners aren't just like college professors and CEOs?
We have to have a decent diversity of listeners, Curtis. Like, it can't just be one. Like, I don't know what our demographic is, but I don't think it's that steady.
I think.
Anyhow.
Every single one of our listeners is a nurse.
Every single one.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
Do you hear that? You all are nurses, which means you all get paid fairly well.
They're all nurses.
At least I would hope you get paid fairly well.
Anyway, they probably get really good health insurance at the very least.
Maybe not.
Anyway, we also wanted to bring up that net neutrality is a big issue right now. We want to keep the net neutral. So if you guys listening to our podcast, it's going to make it a lot easier to do research if the net stays neutral. Mm-hmm. I know that by the time you're listening to this, they probably already had that vote and they probably already came to a conclusion and, you know, we're probably screwed anyway. But, you know, call your senators, call your mom, call your dad.
Fight. You can still
call legit pie.
Call the guy next door.
Throw
be like, hey,
windows.
Net neutrality.
Scream.
Yeah.
I don't know how to be in the world. I don't know what to do, so don't ask me. I don't know.
Don't ask Curtis. Anyway, guys, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, hopefully at this time, because you know, net neutrality,
yeah.
That's the whole issue that we're talking
about. right
hopefully you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at MWRcast. Hopefully you can find our website, MulderIsRight.wordpress.com. hopefully you can find the guy on SoundCloud who provides our music, Christian Tedino.
Good old Christian Tedino.
And hopefully you can find our podcast on anywhere where podcasts are featured.
Yep.
That would be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, and as we mentioned before, SoundCloud.
As well as other places. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening. We will...
Yeah, and before we head off, want to take a moment here to thank our listeners for hanging in with us for what has been almost a year. I want to say we started this podcast back in February of this year.
First week of February.
It's been a long ride, guys. It has been a long
ride. And as we said, we're not going anywhere. So you'll be able to hear us next year talking about conspiracy theories and everything. So
yep. Like Curtis said, we're just taking a break for the holidays to spend time with our families, get some shit taken care of, and you know,
just eating. So, we're just gonna eat.
We're just gonna eat a lot.
And but I don't know. I already said I don't know what people do or why.
It would be a great help if you guys could leave us a review.
Yeah, leave us a review.
That'll be your gift to us. Leave us a review. We'd appreciate that.
You know what would also be a great gift to us? If you guys have any topics you want us to talk about on this podcast, please send us a message. Like, you can Facebook us, you can message us on Twitter, you can email us, MulderWasRightCast@gmail.com. Curtis really wants money. But yeah, if you guys have any topics that you want to hear us talk about, please like, just reach out to us. We would love to hear from you. We would love to talk about what you want us to talk
about. And occasionally some of you have reached out to us, and we love you more than we love the people who haven't reached out to us.
It's true. At the time of this recording, Brendan was messaging us earlier today and letting us know that we had a fan reach out to us on Twitter. Brendan, thanks for bringing that to our attention. She's pretty
and
cool.
And Sakeith is her favorite.
I'm her favorite. That's so nice of you to say that.
Anyway, this has been a long outro. Let's just say goodbye, guys, and let's say the whole wake up sheeple thing.
3, 2, 1.
Wake up sheeple.
Hooray!
What in the hell happened?
Bye, 2017.
See you next year, 2018.
See you next year.